Blog Talk Radio.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in a boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just a...
All right, there's nothing better than After Midnight with some Dean Martin to bring us in. And I am, of course, the host. You are listening to After Midnight. And I am the Dean of Credibility, Double D. You can find me at Folsom County. Make sure you check out the official Twitter at HIAC Talk Radio. And check out HIACTalkRadio.com. Our guest tonight, he will be here in about 10 minutes, is none other than the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. He will be coming here discussing tomorrow's event, well, today's event at this point, of On Point Wrestling Relentless. And there will be two people there calling the action. I am one. The other is my co-host, the distinguished Emil J. Esquire. How are you doing here tonight, Emil?
I'm doing great tonight. Mr. Dixon, of course, my very close personal longtime friend here. I just woke up from a nap. I'm feeling good.
Naps right before After Midnight, that's what make the world go around.
That's definitely it. I mean, can you really classify it as a nap? It was a five-hour ordeal. So was that a nap or was that just an abbreviated sleeping session? Who really knows? That's really all I do these days. So
I think it's really in between 5 hours. Although some people function with 5 hours, Emil.
I'm trying to train my body how to do that. It's not really working, but...
Are we doing that on commentary tomorrow, the close personal friend?
Well, hey, man, we can't let the rubes in and pull the gimmick back, you know?
Not only that, I have to go Gorilla Monsoon and say, this is a happening, and I'm happy to be here. You still haven't gone back and listened to some of those old Boston Gardens where he would say that. He said it at every Boston Garden show, Gorilla Monsoon.
Wait, say it again. You broke up on me when
He said, this is a happening, and I am happy to be here.
Oh, I'm very happy to be here. This is indeed a happening. Gorilla Monsoon and would say this is a happening a lot. You know, fans would be literally hanging off the rafters in those old WWF shows.
Literally.
Literally.
He's literally on fire. Gorilla Monsoon, one of the best for his great exaggerations.
I don't think he knew what the word literally meant in a literal sense. I literally don't think Gorilla Monsoon knew what the word literally meant.
Very well could be true, Emil. But tonight we're going to talk about WWE stock.
Oh, boy.
Went down 50%.
In a day.
In a day. After the NBC Universal television deal was announced, Emil.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not good for a former billionaire, Vince McMahon. I mean, he's still worth over in excess of $850 million, which, you know, is nothing to scoff at. It would take me literally, I don't know, 75,000 years of working without spending a dime to have that much money. I've crunched the numbers. It's legitimate at my current pay wage. So, I mean, like, I can't be mad at the guy, but I mean, it's certainly not good news that he received today.
Certainly not. I don't know how you come back from that. It will slowly but surely creep up. Of course, the stock went up to close to nearly $20 a share once WWE Network was announced.
It was almost $30 at one point. The peak day, I believe, was March 17th when it was like very close to $30, like within like a quarter.
Well, there you have it.
So, I mean, that's within, what, 6 weeks that you go from $30 down to, I believe it closed at $11 and something cents. At the end of the day, I mean, you're looking at within 6 weeks a decrease of 63%, which, you know, is not good.
Not good. We're crunching numbers, though. Some people want to hear On Point Talk. We have received feedback on Twitter.
Okay.
I'm not sure if you've seen it, but we have received.
Who's tweeting? Who's tweeting out there?
Well, I am happy to hear feedback and instant feedback at that, Emil. Of course, tomorrow is the return of On Point Wrestling as they become relentless. And we're going to be relentless right along with them as we call the action. Now, I'm going to start with this because we're going to get back to it in a little bit when the Bulldozer himself calls in, but let's talk about this Texas death match between the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont, and lowlife Louis Ramos. Now, this match, of course, Emil, was to take place 347 days ago.
Wow. That's, yeah, last year, I remember. That was the second show was supposed to take place at. There were shenanigans.
There was a health scare.
No, before that, weren't there shenanigans at the first On Point show?
Oh, with, yes, when lowlife Ramos interjected himself during the Homicide and Matt Tremont match, yes.
When lowlife was being a lowlife.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't just get that name because it came out of a Cracker Jack box.
Certainly not.
He was being a lowlife at that point.
He earned that nickname.
Yeah, quite dubious in his distinction. But, I mean, hey, I want to see the Bulldozer get his hands on him. I mean, I'm going to remain completely objective and, you know.
Now, this is, of course, as well, it was announced earlier this week, a Fans Bring the Weapons match. And I didn't say this on Wednesday, but I've seen a few things that the Bulldozer's own nephew has made.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some collusion in the works there.
But he made a fork board?
A fork board, yeah. A thumbtack bat, I saw.
What the hell? This is his own family making these devices of torture.
Well, they're making them for Matt to use on Louis, obviously. I'm going to have to ask Matt when he comes on momentarily, hey, did you have your nephew... Did you come up with those ideas for your nephew to use? Is that what you want to use? Did you have express written consent? Did you grant that to this young boy?
Well, we're going to find out when we talk. But how do you think this is going to break down? This is, of course, lowlife Louis. Just violence.
Violence.
Torture.
Yep.
Agony.
Blood.
Pain. Blood.
Just gore.
Just bad intentions all over this match.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody goes into a Texas death match, a Fans Bring the Weapons Texas death match with the intention of having a catch-as-catch-can classic. I think it's going to be...
Personally, Emil, I would love to see that happen, though.
Oh, me too.
Wouldn't that be great? They just forego all the weapons and have a wrestling classic to write home about.
That would be something to write home about.
I came to see this Texas death match and a wrestling match broke out. I think that would be the way to go. But, hey, I'm not a booker.
Nope. Neither am I.
But that's how I... that's my hopes for tomorrow.
Yeah,
but
lots of drop toe holds, Indian deathlocks.
Yes. You know, I think Matt would have a really good Indian Deathlock. That's another question. I'm writing that down now.
How good is your Indian Deathlock? Yeah.
I have to write that down. I'm actually getting the pen to paper right now.
I mean, hopefully he's listening right now so he can just, like, burst through the wall as if he's the Kool-Aid man and say, I have a pretty freaking great Indian Deathlock. So that's how we should start.
Brother, now, brother, here's something that I know you're looking forward to.
Oh, this guy's being a sick fuck. He wants to see Ramos destroy his own uncle. That's instant Twitter feedback.
Reed, by God, Bentley will be taking on Oz Tyler. What? How do you see this one breaking down?
Man, that's going to be awesome. Like, I'm conflicted because, obviously, Reed... By God, Bentley, a charter member of Team Best Dude. So he's my boy. But also, Oz Tyler, he's my boy too. So, like, I have two horses in this race. So either way, you know, I'm happy with the decision. But it's going to be, I mean, I've spoken with both individuals, you know, individually. That my grasp of the English language is subpar at best.
It's a little less than to be desired tonight.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just took a 5-hour nap. Anyhow, both of them are very much excited for this match. They are looking to, well, Oz is looking to build on the momentum that he started to, that he started at the last event by beating Josh Crane, advancing in the title tournament, his first victory. So he's looking to, you know, build up upon that, whereas Reed is looking to get the victory he felt as though he should have gotten at the previous event, of course, being part of that really, really good four-way.
Monumental.
Momentous. I mean, might even go so far as to say that he feels that he should have been getting the accolades instead of Danny Cannon. Like, Danny Cannon came in and stole the thunder that he should have received.
Well, I heard feedback that Reed By God Bentley spent the majority of the match laying on someone's foot at ringside. This is what I heard.
Well, as far as...
I get feedback from all over, Emil.
You do?
I do.
I was there, obviously. I called the match with Nick Manoa.
You had to pay more attention to the action going on in the ring, so I'm not sure if you were aware.
As far as...
what was going on the outside.
As far as action action per second, which I guess is a new...
Action-packed action. That's how I like to call it.
Action-packed action. Danny Cannon did have... the advantage in that category, in that statistic. But, you know, things happen.
He's a little firecracker.
He's like the Energizer bunny on crack cocaine. Or
with a firecracker up its ass.
Well, I don't...
It's after midnight, Elmo.
Whatever.
I'm a little uncaged.
Whatever he does in his personal life, you know, let's leave that behind closed doors.
Well... It's about that time, Emil. Our guest has arrived, of course. It's the Bulldozer Matt Tremont, the man who has been forsaken by his own nephew, as his nephew has said he wants to see Ramos destroy Matt Tremont. But it's time to bring on the Bulldozer Matt Tremont. We're going to talk about a few things. Another thing I'm going to talk to Matt Tremont about... Oh, I'm in a weird mood. But another thing I want to talk to Matt Tremont about is last week... At Jersey Championship Wrestling, he tagged with Devon Dudley. Did you hear about that?
Yeah. I spoke with him in the dressing room area of the Flyer Skate Zone last week. And, man, he was still riding the high from teaming with a legendary tag team performer in the former Reverend Devon.
I have to know if Matt did, in fact, get the tables, but we're going to find out the answer to those questions.
Oh, yeah, it's a good story.
right after this.
On a long, lonesome highway, east of Omaha, listen to the engine moaning out his one old song. Think about the woman, the girl you knew the night before. But your thoughts will soon be wandering the way they always do. When you're riding 16 hours, there's nothing much to do. And you don't feel much like riding. You just wish the trip was through. Here I am, on the road again.
There he goes, and here he comes. It is, of course, the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. Tomorrow it's going to be, well, today it's going to be all about the violence. But, Matt, how are you doing here tonight?
Dean fucking Dixon. What's up, buddy?
It's after midnight. You know it's after midnight when he comes on like that. Now, my first question. You're, of course, with Emil J. as well. Emil, say
Emil,
hi,
what's
man.
Up, man?
Hey, buddy.
What's up, dude?
Emil J. has been breakdancing all over this motherfucker tonight. Now,
moonwalking over to business, baby.
Oh, it's moonwalking. It's moonwalking. I'm sorry. I had my quote wrong. I'm not.
I can't.
I'm not hip to the references. Now, my first question is, how do you feel about your own nephew wanting to see lowlife Louis Ramos destroy you? I mean, what's up with that?
That little son of a bitch. My nephew, he is a violent little guy, and he enjoys the hardcore and the violence, and he enjoys it even more when I get scarred up and beat to death. And if he takes enjoyment in that, that's fine, because he will get a good show tomorrow.
There you go. So, before we get to On Point, we have to rewind to last weekend, because last weekend you had one hell of a weekend. Let's start with Friday night. You're in the ring. Well, let's actually go back when you meet Devon Dudley in the locker room. What was that experience like for you?
Well, I'll rewind a little further. Originally, it was supposed to just be a one-on-one match. I was not privy to. I knew Jerry the King Lawler was originally scheduled. He could not make it, so they patched in Reverend Devon himself. And I was originally scheduled in a one-on-one, and then I was notified by the authorities, the people in power at JCW, and they told me I would be tagging with Devon Dudley, and it was very, very surreal. I've had the, you know, opportunity so far to work and tag with a lot of guys that I grew up watching in ECW, and Devon was just another name to add to that list, and one of the nicest guys I've met, and he made me feel very comfortable, and pretty much I was his Bubba last Friday night. That's pretty much what he told me, and a lot of fun. Learned so much. Very nice guy. It was a very, very surreal to be out there with the 23-time tag team champion of the world.
Now, you say you learned a lot. A lot of people might think that is, an exaggeration or something, but really with a guy like that. And when I first heard about it, this is just me, I'm somewhat jaded with wrestling and everything. When I first heard about it, I was like, oh, yeah, you know, Matt's going to be tagging with Devon. And then the more I thought about it, I'm like, that's really cool. I mean, that's like a really cool experience, not only for Matt, but that's another one of these eras collide type of thing. Devon was selling out the ECW arena in 1996, 1997, 98. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, just that whole experience. Now, my next question is, did you, in fact, get the tables?
I got the tables and more. I was telling Emma, as she was saying when we talked at the beloved Skate Zone last weekend, that I did indeed, gave the shove to D-Von to the chest and told D-Von to get the tables. And as I proceeded to try to tell him, you know, as Bubba would do, you know, scream D-Von, I got caught in the moment. And I'm just kind of staring at D-Von, and he's like, "All right, say my name, kid." So I got caught in the moment, you know. It was awesome. Got the tables, you know. We did all the, you know, all the historic, you know, Dudley Boy spots minus the actual 3D. So I was like a kid in a candy store.
Oh, that would have been great if you did do the 3D.
He said Bubba would be mad. He's like, "We can't do that." He's like, "We could do everything else, but we can't do the 3D."
Did you do the what's up spot?
Oh, 100%. I gave a big scoop slam to Jeff Cannonball. I brought those legs back. D-Von extended the top turnbuckle, and two what's up later, and it was in the books.
Wow. Now that's pretty cool. I do have to admit, part of me... Is this footage available anywhere? I have to see it now.
Well, I'm not sure. I know JCW did film the event. I don't know if they distribute them or not, but I was privy of the knowledge the night before, so I took it upon myself to bring my own camera and had a buddy of mine film that. So, I mean, I don't know if I can put the footage out there, but it's in the personal archives that,
well,
I have that tag match with D-Von.
The next time I make my way to the Double Stomp video studios, I'll have to see this footage for myself.
100%.
Now, moving right along. Emil, do you have anything at this point for the Bulldozer?
Yeah. I didn't know that Lawler was supposed to be there. Now a match that I want to see that I didn't know that I wanted to see is Matt Tremont versus Jerry Lawler. I think that would be, like, freaking fantastic.
Would love it.
Trading punches with Jerry Lawler? Yeah. Yeah,
I'd bump my ass off for the King of Memphis, man. It would have been awesome. I know Gage worked Lawler in Jersey All Pro years ago, and
yeah,
that match was awesome. So I would love to do that and fucking take the pile driver, man.
That would be freaking. That match was awesome between Gage and Lawler Jersey
was,
All Pro.
It was, definitely was.
It's completely out of left field. Like, on paper, you see Jerry Lawler versus Nick Gage, and you're like, "What the hell is going on here?"
That
was awesome. I think JCW management should try to bring in Jerry Lawler again and just put him against you. It was like in an old school Memphis brawl, like freaking just all the shenanigans.
The strap coming down, Emil, the fist strap from the second rope.
Yeah,
it'd be epic. I would bump and bleed my ass off for Lawler.
And take a fireball, too.
Anything he wanted to do, anything, everything in the book we would do, and I would do it for him, and it'd be awesome.
well, JCW gets in Jake the Snake as well. What about you working Jake the Snake?
To have the opportunity to work any of those guys that, you know, we watched growing up, and then to be in the ring with them and just share the 5 minutes or 10 minutes in the ring with them, like, yeah, that's, you know, that's a dream come true, and just, you know, that's bucket list stuff, man. Like, you know, the having the opportunity to tag with D-Von, you know, I don't know if that'll ever happen again, but I had that moment, and, you know, I can look back at the pictures and the video and said, yeah, I mean, I was in there with D-Von. I was Bubba Ray Dudley for one night, and it was pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah. Definitely. Now, something that, depending on your perspective, that may or may not be fucking awesome is, of course, well, I'm jumping ahead again because we're still talking about the last weekend. So much happened last weekend. Now, you're also the WSU King and Queen now. Now, this is a tournament that goes back many, many years, WSU, various winners throughout the years. You are now the King and Queen with Mickey Knuckles.
Mm-hmm.
For this very prestigious event. Now, let's go back there. What was that like winning this WSU tournament?
Very, very cool. I mean, last year I got the tag with Addie Starr, and I thought we formed a very formidable tag team, and we were very, you know, over with the crowd, and they enjoyed us as a tandem. And I think this year I had even better chemistry with Mickey, and we just clicked well together, and we looked like a mutual tag team. And, you know, I thought we definitely the crowd, you know, vibed off us well, and I thought we had three really solid matches throughout the tournament and got to work. You know, it was nice to work, you know, different talent and being there with Joey Ryan and Candice LeRae and Shana and the Dirty Daddy himself, Danny Havoc and Jules Malone, throughout the course of the three rounds. And I thought we had three really solid matches represented. You know, WSU is all about complimenting the women and, you know, getting them over. And I had a lot of fun. And to go all the way and win the whole damn thing with Mickey Knuckles, who's one of the baddest broads in the business, and somebody, another person I grew up watching and watching her battles in IWA Mid-South. So it was like a brother-sister relationship when me and her tagged, and we clicked very well, and I had a lot of fun. It was a very, very, very memorable weekend last week was.
Yeah, yep. You guys wrestled three times. I didn't get to introduce you any of the times. You guys jumping the gun every time.
The Pearl Harbor attack?
Oh, on multiple occasions. I had to run away from the ring three times whenever they came to the ring. I literally run. The Bulldozer and Mickey Knuckles are just freaking nuts. But, hey, also, you are the only 2014 King of the Ring, so you can join Sheamus and Triple H as far as being a King of the Ring. Because I don't think there's going to be any other ones this year.
I'll put my name in a hat with the Owens and the Bretts of the world. Hell yeah, King of the Ring, goddamn right.
and King Mabel.
Yeah, yes. 1995, man, you can't forget King Mabel.
Yeah.
In Philadelphia, of all places. Man, that crowd really crapped on that, let me tell you.
Stop it. No, they didn't, Dean.
Oh, come on.
At least they got that 15-minute comma versus Shawn Michaels Broadway in the first round. That was stellar.
That was like the worst event to that point. That's when they really started turning things around, though, because it was that 1995 King of the Ring that they looked and they analyzed things, and then they started going a different direction. If it weren't for that King of the Ring, you might not have the Attitude Era. Now, there's a lot of other factors, too, but that's when they really started turning business around. That's when they started examining the product.
Thank goodness Brett didn't do business in Montreal.
That's true. That's true. Very true as well. Now, Matt, going on to CZW, Tournament of Death is coming up. Your thoughts very quickly on Tournament of Death. You're in. What do you have to say?
Two words, crazy monkey, Jun Kasai.
Fuck yeah.
I didn't know if that was announced, but yeah, I didn't know if that was announced,
yeah.
But
it is announced. It'll be a first round match against the deathmatch legend of the Japanese world. Kasai's done it all. He's wrestled everybody. He's done some of the most asinine, crazy things ever in the squared circle, and I'm fucking pumped.
Now, one of the craziest things I've seen the crazy monkey do was get powerbombed through a pane of glass through an open board in the ring from Masada. I'm not sure if everyone has seen that or not, but it's from Dreams. It's available on YouTube, and it's just one of the craziest things I've ever seen a person take. No crash pads, my friends. No crash pads in Big Japan, that's for sure, or Dreams. Now, moving on. Tomorrow, well, later on today, I should say, you have Low Life Louis Ramos. Now, this is a year in the making, 347 days in the making, and you and Low Life finally meet. Now, let's go back to those 347 days ago. And I can remember after you opened up that All On Point show, and you come back through the curtain, and I grabbed your attention in the locker room area, and I said, "Is this for real? Is this what the hell's going on? What kind of angle is this?"
Yeah,
very upset. And you said, "No, this is what's going on, and you know, this is what it has to do." And I can remember going into the following Wednesday night program and just I know you were down, obviously. And just go back to that a year ago and how you felt and how disappointed you were that this match wasn't going to take place.
A year ago was a rough patch for me, personally and professionally, and it really sucked that I couldn't do that match. You know, unfortunate circumstances at the time, with the health scare and all that. And thank God, you know, it was what it wasn't. And I think I felt bad the most for Louis because I knew how much he was looking forward to it. And Louis is such a good guy and just one of the nicest human beings I've ever encountered with in the scumbag wrestling business that we all work in. And I think I felt bad for him the most because it was, like I said, shooting the ring. You know, we would go back and forth, in private messages, and that was his WrestleMania. And, Louis's towards the end of his run and his career, and, he wanted to have one of those last big matches. And I just remember telling him, I'm like, once all this gets cleared up, I told him, like, I'll be a man of my word. I promise you this match will still happen. And a year later, 347 days later, I kept my word, and we will be able to finally cause violence on each other tomorrow and give him that WrestleMania moment, give him that match, and just, for a good human being. And I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow. A year ago was very emotional, and there were some tears shed during that segment with me and him in that ring that night. And it sucked. And it was a rough month and a half a year ago. But a lot of things have transpired since then, and things are, on the up and up now. And now me and Louie can do the damn thing tomorrow. Well, today.
Now, before we move on to what's in store for today, I just want to say that damn nephew of yours is on Twitter, and he is tweeting, as we like to say. And he just tweeted out, I can't tell you how many times me and Matt watched HBK versus Kama a few months back. So there's that.
What a match.
That King of the Ring, just don't get me started on that King of the Ring. I could write a complete essay on why that is one of the worst events in history.
It's due Tuesday night.
Whew, man, that's... And then just King Mabel at the end. You're, oh.
Man, King Mabel was freaking great. He crushed The Undertaker's face.
He did.
It was great.
Legit.
When you're up at 3 in the morning and you're trying to go to sleep and you got to pop a VHS in, that was the cassette to put in.
Pop a VHS. For me, it used to be the greatest cage matches of all time. That was like instant NyQuil. Now, moving on to tomorrow, you and Louie. Now, it was already a Texas death match. That was already signed. People knew that. People were looking forward to that. And then... You, the crazy motherfucker you are, decides,
oh, yeah,
I'm going to go one step further and make this a fans bring the weapons match. Now, why the hell did you decide to do that?
I think I mostly did it. I mean, growing up a fan of CZW and the spontaneous and unpredictability that the company used to be, I used to love when they announced fans bring the weapons matches and spending an entire week putting together fucking weapons of mass destruction for other men to beat the living shit out of each other with. And I always enjoyed that and bringing the weapons to the show and giving them to the staff and then, waiting the entire event for the main event for the fans bring the match and waiting for my weapon to enter the ring and for these guys to use it. And I wanted that same feeling for the fans to have that at all point. They put the time and effort to making these weapons for me and Louie to beat the hell out of each other with. And I guess it's all about, we keep preaching, investing in the on point experience. And I think that's just another little nugget of that experience. And they're playing a big part in that match. And now the weapons will be used and, it'll be a part of history. And, I think it's something fun. And I also put out there, once all the weapons are collected, that the on-point staff, we will all gather in a single file line, and we will look up and down these crazy weapons. And the best weapon, I will personally give one of my personal items from my collection at home. I will give that very fan a nice little prize for him or her taking the time and effort out to build a weapon. And I think it'll be pretty cool.
Now, Whack Packer Hogan has said tonight he is bringing the pizza cutter. Does that frighten you, though, that this man is going to bring a pizza cutter to the ring for you to use or Louie to use on you?
I'd be more afraid if he actually bought a whole pie along with the slicer. No, I think it's great. I mean, we've had, I would say probably half a dozen fans have sent in pictures of what they're bringing tomorrow. And it's cool, man. Like I said, they're taking the time and effort out of their day to make something for something they're coming to. They're paying their $20 to be a part of something, and that's the experience. And now they can bring something that'll be a part of that experience. So, no, it's cool. I've been seeing the pictures, and On Point's been tweeting them back out, and person's bringing this and this person's bringing that. And it's very cool. It's like me, the fan, going to CZW in 2002 when I built weapons for Lobo and Beater to beat the hell out of each other in a fans bring the weapons match. It's just, I want that feeling for the fans to be excited about, just be excited on top of already being excited.
What's the craziest thing you've ever seen in a fans bring the weapons match?
I've seen a lot of crazy things, but I think the worst thing I've dealt with, and I think I've told you this before, is the toothpicks. And I think even somebody tweeted out, somebody make a toothpick bat again, you know, sarcastically, knowing that I'm not a big fan of those, and I've been hit with those before, and, you know, proceeded for the following year to pull toothpicks out of my head. So I'm definitely not a fan of that. Definitely not a fan of those. Don't need to do that again. So I would say definitely a toothpick baseball bat is a weapon of mass destruction on another man's skull.
That's gross.
Yeah, it is. It is.
But, you know, one of my favorite moments in fans bring the weapons history was when freaking Toby Klein threw a VCR at Necro Butcher's head, and Mike Burns, who's filming on the outside, does the weirdest. He does that dance of like, oh my god, what the fuck just happened?
Because
he just got a VCR chucked at his head. Oh man. That was a great moment.
04 King of the Death Matches, man. So, like, they bring some crazy stuff, man. So we encourage to bring your craziest shit tomorrow or later today.
Now, Matt, going into this match, what does this match mean to you? We know what it means to Louie. He's looking for a WrestleMania moment as he's in the twilight of his career. What does this match mean to you?
It means, for me personally, like I said, it means a lot to me that I can do this for someone else. I'm all about, you know, I think On Point has always been about giving opportunities to others that other places might not give them, and knowing how good they feel inside about they're able to work this guy or that guy. So really for me, it's just really giving back to a guy that was, you know, one of those, you know, a decade ago. You know, him and Homicide and a lot of those New York hardcore guys, you know, to give it back to one of them, one of the guys that came before me and paved the way of hardcore, just to be able to give back to him and have the opportunity to get in there with me and for me to get in there with him and just have some violent fun. That's what it means to me. And I guess for On Point as a whole, you know, the company's not based off violence. You know, we saw a little bit back in March with me and Summers, and you know, we're dabbling into the hardcore again later today with me and Louie, and it's going to be fun. I just wanted to give back to him, and now we'll give back to the fans tomorrow, and we'll do it together.
All right, Emil, do you have anything else for the Bulldozer?
Hey man, don't kill yourself. Freaking, I like you, so don't die. but fucking, I know you guys are going to kill it, so I'm just souped up for it, so do what
I'm
you
excited,
do, brother.
Tomorrow's going to be fun, but I mean, not if it's just me and Louie, the company as a whole is coming off our best show so far back in March, and the card today is really, really good. It's a dynamic card, a lot of different things on it, and a lot of guys are coming up here tomorrow. Very excited. The Midwest guys, the North Jersey, New York crew, everybody's coming in tomorrow to Sewell to kill it and to help this company continue to grow, and that's what it's all about.
All right, Matt, before I let you go, Double Stomp Video. We concluded a interesting shoot with Aaron Ganey, formerly of the Nigerian Nightmares.
Yep.
What is next on the plate? How do we top that one?
The Aaron Ganey shoot was raw and real and emotional at the same time. You know, we've done five together so far, and I thought that one was entertaining as well. When it should be out in a week or two, putting the final the finishing touches on the editing process. And all that good stuff. But once it's out, it's going to be really good. In talks now with about 3 to 4 people on the local indie scene, what we're going to do next. So nothing set in stone yet, so I unfortunately have no announcements as far as who we're shooting next. But I know, I'm sorry. But Aaron's will be out soon. I think also along with the 4-hour Go Fuck Yourself Fest that Mark Angel wanted to do on his shoot. That'll be out soon. Aaron's is really good, and Chris Rivera's is out. So along with Xavier Cross and Stan Styles. So for a young video company, I think we've been off to a good start. We've been able to give the opportunity to 5 people that might have not ever had the chance to tell their story, and they were able to do that. And now they can also, get their story out there and make a couple bucks while they're doing it. And we're Double Stomp Video is just getting started. We got some stuff lined up tomorrow to do some like YouTube exclusive stuff. So we're going to do some interviews with a lot of the young guys at On Point, and let them tell their story and get their name out there a little bit more. That's what it's all about. Just helping each other build each other's brand and getting your name out there so you can, continue to be successful and get different places and, goddamn it, make some money in this business. That's what it's all about, and I think people forget that. It's a business at the end of the day, and you got to make money, and you got to build your brand and get that support from the fans to able to get, to that point to make that money. So Double Stomp's just another, avenue and platform for people to do that, and, one shoot at a time.
Let's go back to that Mark Angel for a second. It was an interesting shoot because he started out very tentative. Mm-hmm. And by about the second hour, I think he gave his last fuck and that was it. And off to the races for that. It was one of the strangest things I've ever witnessed, because he started out like I said, just very thankful and happy, and before you know it, there was an air of discontent in that young man that I haven't seen before. But Matt, I do want to thank you. Final words as we head to Relentless tomorrow. Well, today, goddamn it.
7 o'clock tonight, we're back at Sports & More in Sewell, New Jersey. Just come emotionally invest in the On Point experience and come help a fledgling company continue to grow. There's 8 matches tomorrow, and everybody's ready to kill it. So please come out and support On Point. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a very eventful evening, and hopefully another show where we can – it's On Point's 8th show in the company's young history. And, each show we're gaining ground, and I think this one tomorrow will continue to do just that. So come invest in the experience tomorrow, goddammit.
That's right. Matt, thank you so much. You have a great night of rest before you kill yourself tomorrow.
Violent dreams as I rest. Thank you, Dean, for keeping me up.
No problem. You have a good night.
Later, guys. Later, guys.
Later, man.
Listen to the engine moaning out his wound. But your balance will soon be wandering the way they always do. When you're riding 16 hours, there's nothing much to do. And you don't feel much like riding. We just wish the trip was this Saturday night at Sports and More in Seoul, New Jersey, On Point Wrestling returns. In the opening round of the On Point Championship Tournament, the Machine Sam Shields takes on the Zebra Prince, Joey Janela.
But I plan on doing the same thing I've done at every other On Point Wrestling show. Fight from beginning to end until my hand is raised.
You're half man, half machine, you say? I'm Joey Janela, and I don't give a who you are and what you are. What I am is the baddest son of a to ever step on the New Jersey independent wrestling scene, and On Point's the future, and so is Joey Janela.
In the main event, the match, 1 year in the making, lowlife Louis Ramos, a hardcore icon, takes on the next generation's hardcore icon, the Bulldozer Matt Tremont, in a Texas death match. It's a battle of hardcore eras. Tremont, Ramos, On Point Wrestling.
This weekend, we will test the physical limitations of the human body more than ever. Because you have to beat a man so senseless that he cannot answer the count of 10. Who will be the masked man standing when Relentless is all said and done? It's with me and myself, and my life will not disappoint. The friendship, the respect, the mutual adoration for each other, we put on mute, and we turn the volume up on the violence.
And finally, I get the call that I've been waiting for 347 days, the call from the upcoming office. And they asked me, Tremont Ramos, ready to happen? Are you down? And I said yes, before they even finished asking the question. May 17th, 2014, I urge the people of Seoul, New Jersey, to not miss this match, because it'll be the most violent match you ever witnessed live. Pain, torture, agony, Texas death match, whatever you want to call it, it's going down. And it's finally going to answer the question of the chair that was asked, and that is, Hardcore Arrows Collide!
On Point Wrestling returns for Relentless this Saturday, May 17th, 2014, from the Sports and More, 1855 Hearthville Road in Seoul, New Jersey. Doors open at 6:30, bell time is 7. All tickets are $20.
There was one place, and one place only to be this weekend. Come emotionally invest in the On Point experience.
Hey, do you want in on the zoo that is HIAC Talk Radio? Go to HIACTalkRadio.com. Every Monday night, if you're a hockey fan, obey the puck with Dan, Kelly, and Paul. Every other Tuesday, Moose Knuckle Radio with Gus and Adi. And once a month, HIAC After Midnight with Double D and MLJ. And every Wednesday, the flagship show, HIAC Talk Radio with Dean, Dan, and Omega Squad Chris Green. It's wacky and crazy. HIACTalkRadio.com.
It's wacky and crazy, brother.
Man, I don't know what I like more, the Pulp Fiction music or the fucking Benny Hill music.
Did you like the subliminal, because in your shoot job, in quotations, you of course work at a casino. So
yeah, I do. And
I put the slot machines there. Did you like that?
Yeah, you know, I like when I hear that, because that means that somebody is winning. And actually, I hate it when people win, because I've never won big.
Yeah, neither have I. Hogan does. Hogan goes down there. Whack Packer Hogan, of course, is a big winner down there. I think that's all at work, though.
What, Whack Packer Hogan's at work?
Well, besides that, I think Captain Dave is the biggest work. The second biggest work in the business is Whack Packer Hogan.
He's a big something, all right. That's for sure.
I love your Whack Packer Hogan impressions. You haven't done it in a while.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, that's a...
Did you get a little heat for it?
No, I got no heat at all. As a matter of fact, people were, I think I did it like right before a CZW show, and then I just show up to CZW, and everybody was like, man, that was spot on. Like, thanks, man. I didn't even know I could do it.
I think we all have a little Whack Packer Hogan in us.
That's frightening.
Now, we've already talked about two of the matches. Let's talk about the rest. This is an interesting one. It's a three-way dance. It's Xavier Cross, of course, with the financial miracle Loudy, Caveman, and Kefka the Quiet.
That's going to be something. That's going to be a thing. I don't even know. That's going to be a spectacle. I can't speculate on what that might possibly be when you have a mime, a caveman, and a flamboyant
guy.
Yeah. Let's go with that.
I think the word that describes this is it's unpredictable.
Yeah, I'm not predicting anything. You're unable to predict it. I cannot, and I will not. I refuse to do so.
You refuse.
I refuse to predict. Yeah. Okay. My one prediction is that it will be zany. I don't necessarily see much in this straightforward. Wrestling type out of those three individuals.
No, I
don't think I'm going out on a limb here.
Probably not. I think it's going to be a happening. That's how I'm going to describe it. I think as far as fun on commentary, this will be the match to have fun with, kind of like Stan Styles and Caveman was at the previous show.
Oh, that might go down as my magnum opus in this business.
I got to call that splash off the top rope the 5-stone splash. That's just the best thing in the world.
Yeah, it was pretty good all around. We they did some things. We said some stuff. A lot of people laughed. I was happy with it. I need to see the footage.
I do too. That match, if they put out a match from that show, it should be that one to start things off.
Yeah, of course. I like that idea.
Because that match was just Caveman Stan Styles. When that match is made available to the public,
it was bonkers.
Hang on to your hat. Now, another one I'm looking forward to, the debut. On Point Wrestling, it seems every show they have a few debuts that get people talking now. The debut of Trip Cassidy taking on the sexual spider monkey, Pinky Sanchez. What do you know about Trip Cassidy?
Trip Cassidy is another one of these Midwest guys who come in. And he mostly teams with Josh Crane. Not mostly, but he has formed a team with Josh Crane. They actually got to the second round of the CWF Mid-Atlantic Tag Team Tournament earlier this year. They're a good unit. But in singles action, Tripp, he's a young guy, but he can get it done. But he's got a big test out of him in Pinky Sanchez, and I think it'll be a good, solid match. They match up quite well, And for people that haven't seen Trip Cassidy before, I think they'll leave Sports Some More a bit impressed with the young man.
Indeed there. Now, another one I'm looking forward to, of course, Josh Crane debuted in March. He suffered a loss in the first win, actually, by Oz Tyler. He is taking on a veteran in this business, Drew Blood, with the Financial Miracle Audi. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know how much Drew Blood would want me to put this out there, but in a conversation I had with him at BWO a few weeks ago, he brought up the point how he thinks that Josh Crane is going to put him to the test a little bit. So here you have the veteran Drew Blood seeing the young blood come into the territory, as it were. And through his performance, I'm speaking about Josh Crane here, through his performance, he was able to make waves, make an impact, so much so that a veteran of the sport is not so much lacking confidence so much as it is he might be a little bit worried, like, hey, what can this young guy do? Like, he's seen what Josh Crane can do, but I think he's a bit nervous as far as what Josh Crane is going to do against him. I'm sure Drew Blood firmly believes he's going to win the contest, but there's just some level of uncertainty there. Like I said, I don't know how much of that Drew Blood wants to put out there, but it's a very real feeling that he mentioned to me. So, I mean, that's stuck in my mind, and I'm very curious to see how it plays out.
Now, this one is a tag team extravaganza. The best around, TJ Cannon and Bruce Maxwell, undefeated in On Point Wrestling. Of course, defeating the last time out at the anniversary show, former CZW World Tag Team Champions, the Beaver Boys. They are taking on EYFBO, Jurassic, and Angel Ortiz. Word is he's a funky monkey. They are also undefeated as a tag team in On Point Wrestling. Your thoughts on this one?
I think that's got potential to probably be the best match on the show. I, for one, I'm a huge fan of tag team wrestling. So that kind of sets it apart from the pack, for one thing, for me personally. But as far as other than that, the best around in EYFBO, like you said, they're both undefeated and On Point Wrestling. So there's bragging rights on the table. And I know that establishing a tag team division is something that On Point is slowly but surely developing. And I think when it finally comes down to it, you know, a few events down the line when the tag team scene is sort of established and whatnot, I think the winner of this match later on tonight has the bragging rights. They can lay claim to being the top dog in the company, top dogs, top pair of dogs in the company because of this one match here. EYFBO, they, at the last event when they wrestled Highly Entertaining Wrestlers, opened up a lot of eyes in the crowd, people who haven't seen them team before because, I mean, they've both been around On Point Wrestling for the 8 shows, but they haven't teamed together. And I think it was the last event where it was like their first tag team match together on an On Point show. And people were like, man, these guys are a good team. I got that feedback from quite a few people who were in the crowd. And, of course, we've seen what the best around can do in years past and also in modern times. We've seen them against the Beaver Boys. And I'm struggling to remember who they wrestled before. Off the top of my head, I can't.
Who?
The best around.
Best
in,
around
in November.
Highly Entertaining Wrestlers.
No, in November.
Highly Entertaining.
Oh, was it? Oh,
yeah,
yeah, yeah,
Highly
yeah,
Entertaining
yeah, yeah.
And the Beaver Boys.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, we've seen what they can do in modern times, but we've also seen the back catalog of footage of their matches, and so we know what the best round can bring to the table. But I mean, this could be in on point. Not only the match for bragging rights, but it could also be EYFBO's coming out party if they play their cards right. So it's good. As you can tell, I guess I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, I can tell that now. Now, one match, you think that the tag team extravaganza was going to be the one people are going away talking about. The one I'm looking forward to the most is Sam Shields, the Machine, a man who has really come into his own in On Point Wrestling, taking on another guy who has come into his own, Joey Janela. Joey Janela has suffered only one loss. That is, of course, to the Bulldozer Matt Tremont. Last show, he defeated the Chainsaw Joe Gacy. The show before that, of course, he defeated Jaka. So Janela has a lot of momentum, but of course, when you talk about momentum, you have to talk about the Machine, Sam Shields. This is an opening round match for the On Point title, the forthcoming On Point title. This has a lot of marbles in the bag. How do you see it?
I think it's well-deserved for both individuals. Joey Janela, first of all, has proven that he can do the damn thing in the ring. He's in a short time in On Point Wrestling, he's amassed an impressive catalog of wins, as you've gone over, and he's doing real well for himself. On the other side of the coin, you have the Machine, Sam Shields, and that's, I mean, you want to talk about getting it done in the ring. The Machine is not just some fancy moniker that somebody just gave him or that he gave himself. No, that man, inside the confines of a pro wrestling ring, is absolutely a machine. That man is nuts. Like, nuts, not in a crazed way, but as far as conditioning, strength, physique, just know-how,
yeah.
High-impact maneuvers, suplexes, strikes. The man can get it done, just plain and simple. I mean, we saw in the six-man, the six-way match at the anniversary show in January of this year, there was a stretch where he just went suplexing all five other guys in the match, just one after the other, after the other, after the other. And, I mean, it's like he wasn't stopping, you know? And that's the kind of, I want to say the word intensity, but that's not the right word. Because I'm not going to say he's not intense, because he's intense in his own way. But a lot of times when you hear intense, you think of the guy who's out there huffing and puffing and yelling at the top of his lungs and all that. That's not really what Sam Shields does. He's physically intense.
A silent intensity.
Yeah, which to me I think is always more dangerous because, you know, for my money, I'm more afraid of the guy that's completely quiet and still before you're going to fight him instead of the guy who's running around taking his shirt off and wiping his mouth and, you know, talking all this shit. Like, hey, man, like, the silent guy is probably going to take your head off sooner than the guy making all this noise. The guy whose bark is louder than his bite, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
You
know, it's interesting, you brought up a few points that Sam himself, we of course interviewed Sam on Wednesday, and he really brought up a few things that you did. Most of all was the fact this isn't a gimmick. He is a machine. When he goes and trains, he's a machine. He outlasts guys, younger guys in the ring. He's that type of individual. And one thing that really stood out was he really credits a lot of his turnaround, a lot of his success, not only to On Point Wrestling, but to the match with Gran Akuma back in September.
September, yeah.
And he really credits that match with everything clicked. Everything clicked for him going back to that match.
Yeah, and you know, I just want to make a point that, you know, unfortunately, due to my schedule, I'm not able to listen to the Wednesday night show on a regular basis. So I didn't hear the interview with Sam Shields, so I don't want anybody to think that I'm just regurgitating things that I've heard him say. No, like, that is his presentation. Like, that is who he is. You know, like, I'm not just saying what he wants to be said. That's my interpretation of him.
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly what he brings to the table. It's not anything pre-planned or anything like that that I said in that little diatribe about the man.
Definitely. And one of the nicest guys in that locker room, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Soft-spoken, has a hand for everybody, and a really great guy. And I was no fan of the Midnight Sensations, his former tag team that he was part of.
Oh, yeah, with C.J. Rockwell.
Not a fan.
See, but the thing is, but when he's on, like, he's real nice in the locker room and everything, but when he's on deck, and when I say, you know, this next match is whatever that he's going to be in, and his music hits, like, that switch goes off, and no more Mr. Nice Guy, you know? He comes out to the ring to do a job, and he does that job to a pretty high degree.
It's very similar to Tremont as he gets on deck. It's a scary transformation in Tremont's case, but I'll tell you.
That's a different form of frightening. That's just nuts.
Well, it's because Matt, we have Matt on earlier tonight, and one of the nicest guys, bar none, in this business, has given me opportunities, has allowed me to do things, and just one of the nicest guys that has ever stepped foot into a ring, period, bar none. That's not even a question. If you question that, we're no longer friends. I'll put it that way. And that transformation that he goes through as his music hits, and it should forever and always be Turn the Page by Metallica.
I do like the KRS-One. I do like that.
You really like that one?
I'm a hip-hop head, man. I like it.
You're a fan of that one?
I am.
Really? For Tremont, though?
Yeah.
This one? Really, that one?
Yeah, you know, once the beat drops and the bass is kicking, like it gets me going, and I know it gets him going too. So, I mean, anything that can, you know, rile him up is good news.
Personally, I want to see Matt come out to this one day. Face paint, tassels, everything.
Yeah.
Just run to the ring, clothesline somebody, press slam, splash, over. Actually, that's the way. I said earlier I wanted to see a wrestling match between Louis and Tremont. No. It has to go down that way.
Clothesline, press slam, Indian deathlock, thumbtack, bat.
Drop down till hold.
Yeah.
Indian Deathlock. We didn't ask him about the Indian Deathlock, and I had a note here.
Well, see?
Damn it.
Come on, Dean.
The show just went down the tubes with that one. Now, of course, it was originally going to be Danny Cannon. Danny Cannon had to pull out. Won't be making the trip to New Jersey tomorrow.
When in doubt, always pull out.
Words to live by, Emil.
Yep.
Words to live by. Now, so...
Should take my own advice sometimes, anyway.
Chris Dickinson. You wouldn't have those three illegitimate bastards out there right now. But
well, I don't anymore.
I don't know where you're going with that. Now, I'm talking about the Dirty Daddy Challenge. Now, the Dirty Daddy Challenge is Chris Dickinson doesn't have an opponent, and he has put out there a challenge.
The dirty daddy, the filthy father, the sultan of smut himself.
If he shakes hands, however, he's a clean mama. He better not be shaking hands with anybody, I'll tell you that.
Oh, boy. Hey, I'm a Chris Dickinson guy. So I don't care who he wrestles, honestly.
I have heard words. There's rumors that there has been a flight coming in from Texas. Is it Scott Summers?
Well, that's just mere speculation. I haven't even
I've heard word that in Brooklyn right now a man is coming down. Perhaps is it homicide answering this challenge?
I haven't heard that. Who are your friends?
Sanjay Dutt may be making a return.
Sanjay Dutt is your friend?
No. I'm not going there. That's an off-air story. Sanjay Dutt may be making a return to On Point Wrestling tomorrow. These are things I've heard. These unconfirmed rumors and speculation.
Who are you hearing? Who are your friends? Who are these people telling you things? They're not telling me anything. Rumors abound in this trap world. What are you, a travel agent, Dean?
I'm an investigative reporter. I have to have my finger on the pulse of On Point Wrestling. Could it be that we see Nate Hatred answer the call?
That would be something.
Perhaps someone in the state pen will be getting a day pass.
Oh, crazy Ivan.
Well, he has been on an on-point show. Maybe he makes a return tomorrow. That's what I'm saying. You just don't know who is going to answer the Dirty Daddy Challenge, but it will be a happening, MLJ.
I'm excited. I'm excited for it, man. I want to see Chris Dickinson wrestle anybody, honestly. Like, it doesn't matter to me. Line him up. Chris Dickinson will probably put him down.
Could we be seeing the debut of the Mac Daddy Ron Starr in an on-point ring? Will he answer the Dirty Daddy Mac Daddy Challenge?
I don't think he will. I'm just going to go out on a limb. I'm going to go out on a limb and say no.
I, for one, would love to see it. The Dirty Daddy Mac Daddy Challenge. Now, this all takes place mere hours away, Emil. It's tomorrow. Well, today, May 17th, it's at Sports & More, 1855 Herfill Road in Soldier Jersey, 08080, if you are punching it in on the GPS. Now, doors open at 6:30. That's always tentative. Things may happen that may push it back a little.
It is indie wrestling.
Yes, keep that in mind. Please don't tweet us. Don't write Facebook messages. We're well aware of the fact that there are fans standing outside.
No, but you know what? You know what? I want them to, because if that lights a fire under the ass of these people to get this shit done on time, then I'm for it. Because, man, you know what?
We know.
You know, but it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable these days still that people are that we're, about time is it 7, and it's 7:45 we're having the freaking that we're just opening doors at 7:45. Now, I'm not saying this is exclusive to On Point Wrestling. I'm just saying indie wrestling on a whole, man. Get your shit together. If you say this is the time, this is the time. Unless you're doing a doubleheader, which runs long, because that's
always
how that happens.
Why
but,
does it start at 3, though, Emil? Why start the doubleheader at 4? Started at 3, have enough time in between. Never got it.
I don't know. But, I mean, like I'm saying, man, freaking, if you advertise it for this time, and you're the only show that happens that day, unless the freaking ring truck is late, or like...
That happened, truthfully, last time.
Well, that ring was a piece of shit.
Well, it was hard to get that ring there.
Am I burying myself? That ring was a piece of shit.
Look. There is a shroud of. There's only so much you can do. To not make everybody knew that it was the performers in that ring, the fans at attendance. I believe there is a different ring.
Yeah, that's
a better ring will be in use tomorrow?
God, I hope so. Freaking, yeah, and if, like, the first match is late, oh, well, fuck them. You guys don't have a match.
That's true. That's true.
You know, I want...
Well, no, you want to see the opener.
I want to see, well, I mean, in this case, yes, but, yeah. I mean, I know both guys are going to be there because they're professionals, first of all. Second of all, I want to see the trend in pro wrestling, in indie wrestling, change from, oh, we're going to start late because it's indie wrestling, to change to, hey, it's indie wrestling, we're starting on time. That's what I want to see.
You know what,
and
though?
I also want to see pigs fly, and I want to see a cold temperature forecast in hell. So these are all three things that are going to happen at one point in time.
Let me put it this way. New Moon Rising Wrestling not only started on time, started 15 minutes, usually with the tantalizing episode of Ringside with the Roughneck. 6:45 usually. So bell time was 7. So the first match usually went by 7.
Good.
That's one thing. I'm trying to think. There's another promotion that always starts. ECWA always starts on time. Delaware.
Could you imagine? You know,
doors open 6. Bell time is 7. They do have their shit together. ECWA. Not a big fan of the promotion, but they do have their shit together as far as that.
Imagine WWE saying WrestleMania starting at 7, and then all of a sudden they don't start until like 7:45.
Well,
do you think that's acceptable?
Well, this is why there are differences on the levels.
Well, there don't need to be.
I agree, Emil. I realize you're a little fired up.
I'm so fired up right now.
We'll get into independent wrestling in just a few, because I think that's an interesting conversation we can have to close out this episode of After Midnight. Well, I was going to bring up the woman that was buried alive in Camden, but that's kind of a downer.
That's a downer.
Yeah, yeah. We don't need to add our 2 cents to that. Basically, two scumballs buried a woman alive over the sum of $8,000, and now they're held for $5 million bail. Happened in Camden? Doesn't surprise me. Now, Emil.
What a place Camden is.
Of course, again, Relentless is tomorrow. Sports and More, 1855 Fairfield Road, Seoul, New Jersey. All tickets are $20. Bell time 7. Doors open 6:30. What match are you personally looking forward to the most? Is it the tag team match?
I think it's a tag match, but also Reed and Oz I'm really looking forward to. It's like those are like my one and two, depending on like what mood I'm in that given second. Obviously there's a lot of interest in, you know, seeing what Matt Tremont and Louis Ramos do to each other. I mean, a good Texas death match is always welcome by me. So, I mean, those are probably my top three. If I had to rank them at this point in time, it would probably go Tag, Oz and Reed, and then Texas Deathmatch. That can change in literally 30 seconds from now. But right now, that's how I'm looking at it.
The match I'm most looking forward to is that OPW heavyweight title tournament match between Sam the Machine Shields, Joey Janela. I think it's going to be coming out party for both of them.
Yeah, I hope so.
I'd
love for it to be.
I went on record and said the match from the anniversary show, Joey Janela and Jocko, was my favorite match of that entire evening.
You did.
And Joey really hasn't had a bad match in On Point Wrestling to this point. Of course, defeating Joe Gacy last month. I mean, that put a finger in your cap on that one. Not just everybody beats
a
Joe Gacy.
Finger or a feather?
A finger, a feather, whatever. Now, moving along. Independent wrestling. We had an interesting conversation as we were waiting for the show to begin tonight.
Yeah.
Now, I was saying that I like to see character. To me, character means a lot. This is the 1970s when the school gym teacher comes out with a barrel chest a flabby belly, puts on a pair of trunks and boots, and gets in there and rolls around with a guy. You got to have character to set yourself apart in this business. Emil, you seem to disagree. You go with the in-ring product first.
Yeah, I mean, fuck it. I watch wrestling because I like wrestling. I don't, like, the theatrics are cool, and, like, characters are cool, and, like, you know, like, you know, I say this as a big fan of Memphis wrestling, so, like, there's a little bit of a hypocrisy here.
Yeah.
But, I mean, their in-ring product was freaking great, too. And they were good talkers. Like, I mean, for me, wrestling is always at the top of my list, in-ring. I mean, like, earlier in the day, like this morning, I was watching a match from France from 1967. Two guys, you know, that probably nobody other than this really, 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 really tiny corner of the internet have heard of. Just going in there and wrestling each other. And guess what? It was freaking awesome. I don't know who they were. Like, you know, I don't know what the characters are. I don't know, like, whatever. Well, they had a freaking awesome match, and I loved it.
Okay, let me put it this way. I think we're basically disagreeing here.
Yeah, we are.
Well, as far as, but I think it comes from perspective, okay? It's not necessarily the... In the realm of independent wrestling, okay, I think you need something to stand out, to make your character, to make you want to see this person perform. There's a reason why Matt Tremont resounds with a great deal of people. A lot of people will look at Tremont and say, that's somebody I can believe in, kind of a Dusty Rhodes. In a way, he's a modern era Dusty Rhodes, whether he wants to believe it or not. You know, fights for the common man, that sort of thing. If he went with a Dusty gimmick, I personally would go with that. I still think he should do the anti-ultraviolence, but that's neither here nor there. I've been trying to dig that into his brain for a long time. Come out with a suit and tie, you know. Anyway.
Corporate bulldozer.
Oh, it would be the best thing in the... don't get me started.
Anyway, go on.
Don't get me started on how that would be the best gimmick in the world. But especially how much he loves Hart. It would actually eat away at him, you know? It would really, like...
Go on with it, Dean.
Anyway, I think it's the best... If he listens back to this, I hope he hears my words. Anyway. Now, there are certain people that go out to the ring today. They wear black boots, black trunks. And there's nothing that really sets them apart. Sure, they can go in the ring. They may be champions, that sort of thing. But they just don't have that it factor that draws you in. Sammy Callahan is in WWE right now because he had the entire package. I don't see certain people that are winning championships right now making it there because they don't have that complete package.
The it factor is what they're able to do in the ring. That's what sets them apart. These, you know, like...
That's
what's different about them. That's what sets them apart. I mean, if you're watching wrestling and don't put a lot of
credibility.
If you're watching wrestling
stop.
And you're looking at the
stop.
In-ring,
yes.
And you're not looking at the in-ring, watch fucking something else. Go watch theater.
That's not what I'm saying at all.
Go watch something else, that's, man. Like, it's fucking wrestling, man.
You're not hearing me here.
I am hearing you, and it's like I've never liked that argument. I never really have.
But what I'm saying is you're not going to get noticed if it's simply... If the great Muda was the same person without that gimmick, he's just another guy doing moonsaults.
Yeah, I mean, it's complimentary. I mean, it's not like... I don't think either one is the end-all, be-all, but I think in this case for, you know, there's some people out there whose character is, or gimmick or whatever you want to call it, is the fact that they are a good wrestler.
But how far can that get you?
Well, it all depends.
How far can that get you simply on that? When
it should get you freaking far in this goddamn business.
Let me put it this way.
It should get you really freaking far, and the fact that it doesn't speaks to why this business is in the shitter that it is right now.
But let
because
me put it this
nobody gives a fuck about what really matters.
Let me put it this way, and that's not necessarily true, because
it is true. It is true, man.
Because if you didn't have the main event,
it's fucking wrestling. It's not this bullshit that's getting paraded out on TV all the fucking time. It's wrestling. That's what it should be.
Let's go back to WrestleMania.
Let's go back to WrestleMania. It started with a fucking half-hour-long promo that was boring as shit.
I thought it was wonderful.
I thought it went on way too goddamn long. It should have been 8 minutes of fun and then get on with it. And then get. I'm here for WrestleMania. I'm not here for fucking Promo Fest 2014. I'm here for goddamn WrestleMania. Not.
It was The Rock, Austin, and Hogan, for God's sakes, Emma.
Yeah, and it got boring. It was boring, man.
Anyway, it started off after your half-hour promo that was actually 10 minutes.
It was not 10 minutes. The opening bell to the first match didn't happen until 7:36. Bullshit 10 minutes.
There were video packages.
There was one video package in between. There was one video package and entrances. That shit went on for at least 20 to 25 minutes.
Well, at least I got 10 minutes shaved off. Emil, it started off with a wrestling match, did it not?
It started off with a really long promo.
I'm talking about the actual show. The wrestling,
the actual
remember?
The actual show started with a freaking promo.
You're just going to be persnickety with me, aren't you?
Well, freaking no. I mean, like, the first match that started at 7:36 was a wrestling match, and let me tell you, it was a mighty fine wrestling match.
That's my point, though.
What is your point?
The Daniel Bryan character is something that resounded with people because he had a very good character. If it was just his wrestling, he'd still be Daniel Bryan and nobody would give a crap. It was when he started the Yes Chants and people started responding to the Yes Chants that his character went places.
That match would have been, like, in ring, though, that match was super good. And it.
Let me put it this way, then.
It could
Without
have been,
a character, you're going to be drawing 80, 85 people, and you're going to call that a good draw because you're out. You're not getting something different.
Well, no, you gotta get them into the building somehow. I mean, obviously, like, but
look, if you put together a card of seven matches with just guys that go in there with black trunks, black boots, and can wrestle in quotations, that's all you're gonna get. You're gonna draw 50. You're gonna be Evolve. Sorry, Gabe.
I mean. My argument.
Look, Finley.
My argument, though,
Finley,
is
Finley.
No, stop. There
no,
are
you
people,
stop for a second.
No, there are people.
This is
out
a good
there.
Point I got. Fit Finley, Sami Callihan, main event, 25 people in Florida. Great
my
match.
Argument.
Great
my,
match. But who gave a shit?
Dean. My argument is sometimes people's character is the fact that they can fucking wrestle, and I appreciate that.
But look, if that's all you got, if that's all you're bringing to the table, I can wrestle. It worked for
it's
Taz.
It's fucking pro wrestling!
It worked for Taz.
It's fucking pro wrestling!
Emil, we're just not going to see eye to eye on this. I'm not saying you discount.
What? What? You can't just brush that off.
I'm not saying...
Oh, great, you can wrestle. It's fucking wrestling. You should be able to wrestle.
I'm not saying you discount the fact that people wrestle and can wrestle. I'm saying you have to bring the complete package. Simply being able to go in there and have a 5-star, in quotation, match isn't enough in this day and age.
And that sucks.
Unless you want to stay on the indies and be a... independent wrestler.
It sucks.
The idea is to eventually get someplace that you have a contract where you actually start to make money. And a lot of these independent guys would like to make TNA money.
Well, maybe the difference is I just want to see, like, good characters instead of, like, a lot of this bullshit that I see all the fucking time.
Well, okay. on the realm
or,
of...
Or maybe, like, wrestling-driven characters?
Well, I think we can agree on this point. I think there is a lack of good characters that draw you in on the independent scene. And I think that kind of all blends together with... I think the problems that we both have... We're coming from the different side of the tracks here, but it's all the same problem, is that a lot of guys... They'll go and pay their $3,000 or their $800 for 6 months or a lifetime membership or whatever. And they'll train to wrestle, but they aren't trained to do anything else. Wrestling as a whole, and it's very similar to Double Stomp Video's mission statement. And let me get this out. But you have to create your own market. You have to build your brand. A lot of guys don't realize that this is a business. A lot of guys don't realize that they are marketing themselves. And for what it's worth, and for however well-known or not well-known I am, the people that do know who I am know me as the Dean of Credibility. I have spent 2 years building that brand and building the brand of HIAC Talk Radio. Everywhere I go, I try to continue to build that brand. A lot of guys don't even do that. They don't build on the character. They don't and I'm just auxiliary. I don't do anything in the ring. But I have a better character than 60% of the guys on the independent scene at this point. A more well-defined character than a lot of guys on the independents. And that's not tooting my horn or, you know, being masturbatory. That's just simply the way it is, because a lot of guys don't think about that. They go out there and they have a wrestling match. They go there 10 minutes and that's that. Am I wrong? Emil?
I
thought you hung up on me.
I don't know. I'm frustrated now.
But I'm just saying, that's, to me, I think it's important to create something memorable. The reason I think ECWA had a pretty good run when there was a new ownership that took over is because they had a very good, strong character with a lot of good challengers for that strong character. The Greek God Papadon is a very good character and a very good wrestler. Have you ever seen Papadon wrestle?
Yeah, I've been on a few shows with him.
Would you agree he's a very good in-ring tactician?
Yeah, he's good. He's good in there. He's in Best of the Best.
Does he, in fact, have a good character? Now, in CZW, he probably didn't have a chance to exhibit that character.
Do the whole deal? I mean, not really, but I guess...
He has a very good character that draws you in if you have a chance to see the entire thing. They've kind of gotten away from using him in that respect. They've kind of moved on to a different era in ECWA, and that's, you know, whatever they do, they own the company. But
I think I just figured it out. I think I prefer my wrestlers to have character traits instead of just being characters.
Okay.
I think that's what I prefer. Like, for instance...
I'm not saying everybody should be Duke the Dumpster Drosy.
Nobody should be Duke the Dumpster Drosy.
Or Repo Man, for example, but...
Look,
it's what, 25 years later? They're still memorable characters.
When it comes down to it, I prefer the guys to just have, like character traits, like things that, like adjectives. You can use an adjective to describe him. Oh, he's stoic. Oh, he's intense. Oh, he's this, he's that. And then, like, you know, that's how they're different from each other. I mean, you can't have, like, everybody be the same, obviously, because that just gets monotonous. But, like, if you're broken up by different character traits, instead of being this off-the-wall, wacky, fuck, like, I don't know. Like, I don't care about that shit.
Well, you're going back to the day of describing a Mid-South Hacksaw Jim Duggan as a brawler.
Yes.
Mid-South Ted DiBiase as
absolutely
a ring tactician.
Absolutely.
Not necessarily being a million-dollar man, but rather he can go in the ring.
Yeah, that's what I like.
And wouldn't a millionaire, I don't know, I don't think they would be that good in the ring, personally.
Well, I mean, that's a thought that's crossed my mind. If he's a millionaire, why is he even working?
Yeah, it was kind of weird. Well, he tried to buy the title in 88.
But for what, though?
Yeah, why couldn't he just start his own company?
Why does he have to work? He's already rich.
I think we just got to the crux of the problem here, Emil.
What's that?
Figure it out. We'll talk about it next time. Emil, it's been one hell of a show.
Yeah, I got fired up.
You did at the end here.
Man, because, like, freaking...
A little fire in you.
Freaking, it's... Wrestling's the only thing, besides a female, that's something you can love so much and just fucking hate at the same time.
I can agree with that, Emil. I can agree with that. Now...
You love her for the memories, but you hate what she's become.
Yeah, I can.
And not all wrestling. There's a lot of stuff out there currently that I do watch and enjoy. But, you know, give me old shit over this new stuff any day.
But not the old Raw. Those old Raws were kind of hard to get through.
Some of them. They went up and down, up and down.
A little hard to get through.
Some of them were good. So really good, but...
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Where can the fine people find you, Emil?
They can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr.
Tumblr.
Freaking Plenty of Fish, OKCupid, I don't give a damn. At Guapo MLJ, that is GuapoEmilj. Follow me on Twitter because I'm awesome on Twitter. I post great pictures, a lot of great selfies on Facebook and Instagram. And, you know, freaking, add me on there. Let's talk mostly about wrestling, I presume, or like music and stuff. Cause I like other things other than wrestling, but, hey man, I'll talk to anybody.
That's very true. Emil J. is a talker. That's why you're so good at commentary, I think.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, hey, you're my partner. We have to work off each other.
Yes. I try to bring an air of legitimacy back into the commentary position, into the broadcasting role.
Yes, I am. Of course, the Dean of Credibility, Double D. You can find me at Folsom County on Twitter. You can find the official Twitter of HIAC Talk Radio at HIAC Talk Radio. Make sure you check out HIACTalkRadio.com. If you want tickets for Godzilla, just make sure you go there. Click on Godzilla. You will be taken to Fandango's site, and you can buy tickets directly from that page.
Directly from Fandango.
Yes, but make sure you go to HIAC Talk Radio first. So I get credit for the sale. I know people went to go see Godzilla. Did they go through HIAC Talk Radio? No. They're assholes.
I didn't go see Godzilla.
Well, I wasn't calling you an asshole.
I'm just saying. I might. Do you have a deal for X-Men, Days of Future Past?
Well, just go through. There's plenty of... once Godzilla isn't as hot, I'll put up a different one. And you can... Actually, if you click on Godzilla... on HICTalkRadio.com. It's on the sidebar there. You scroll down a little bit.
Well, yeah, I've seen the Godzilla gimmick, but...
Well, click on that, and as long as you click on that, you're...
you can get whatever you want at that point.
Yeah, a cookie will be inserted.
Oh, don't... Where are you inserting that cookie, brother?
A cookie will be inserted, Emil, and I'll receive credit for the sale. Now,
I usually insert things in the cookies, brother.
Now, Emil, you might like to know this.
Yeah.
Considering your escapades down in New Orleans during WrestleMania time, we are also an affiliate with STDcheck.com. So.
Pop. Huge pop.
So if you want to get checked out, they have very reasonable prices. It's confidential. It's 15 minutes out of your day.
It's like Geico.
And it's CLIA certified. So you can go to HIC Talk Radio and get checked out. It's, if you're out after midnight.
I mean, I think I'm good. Like, I'm actually about to get changed. I was actually in bed for the entirety of this show. I'm going to get up, get changed, and then go to the bar. It's what, almost 2? Yeah. I'm going to go.
That's closing time for most bars, but not
the
locale.
But not the city.
Also, check out tfury.com from HIC Talk Radio, and you can shop at MMA Warehouse for all your shopping needs. We have you covered. And Beckett Media.
Look at this guy go with all the sponsors.
If you have pricing, sports collectible needs, grading services. You know what a grading service is, Emma?
Oh, yeah.
That gimmick is?
I used to dabble in the sports card industry.
That's where you send your card away, and someone looks at it and tells you that it's a 7 near mint or a 9... 9.5 near mint.
Or if you're real lucky, you get a gem mint 10, and then you can watch Home Shopping Network while Don West just loudly yells and exclaims that the Cal Ripken Jr. rookie is a gem mint 10. You can't get this anywhere else. And it's awesome because I love Don West, especially when he stands up on commentary tables yelling, "Go Red, go."
It is a...
Man, I just went for a loop there.
Well, it's an 83 Topps Traded set, of course, that Cal Ripken Jr. rookie card. For those that wanted to know, Mark McGwire's rookie card used to be a big seller in the 84 Topps set. However, it is not anymore, Emil. Steroids will destroy your Hall of Fame aspirations.
And if you're into the modern stuff, get your hands on some Mike Trout stuff. He's a hot seller.
You know, today, is it like it was because there was such a boom, like 91, 92, for baseball cards and collectibles and things like that, and then there was a bust. Is it booming now, or is it bust?
I mean, I'm not going to say it's booming, but there's a lot of, like, high-end stuff out there. It's not your granddad's gimmick anymore. It's not your grandfather's hobby anymore. There's a lot more high-end shit out there.
Now, MLJ, I personally am looking forward to getting in, sitting at the commentary table with you tomorrow. Hopefully we don't shake it too much because the hard cam would get a little shaky. However,
I'll try not to bang on the table while I'm talking.
However... I'm looking forward to On Point Wrestling Relentless tomorrow. It's going to be a happening, and I get to be there with my close personal friend, MLJ.
Close personal, long-time friend.
It's long time, I always forget.
Yeah,
yes.
Close personal, long-time friend.
But I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a happening, and I can't wait to be a part of it. MLJ, any final words?
No. No,
you are a fountain of misinformation, sir.
Final words. Hey, come out. Watch some good wrestling tomorrow.
Can you use that tomorrow on me, the fountain of misinformation? I'm going to say that Chris Dickinson went to the University of Oklahoma on a football scholarship.
He most certainly did not. And then you're going to keep it up. And then I'm going to say, will you stop? And then you'll look at me with a look of indignation, and I'll just call you a fountain of misinformation.
Can I throw my pen down at some point?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we'll that's one of the spots. Everything else will walk and talk. you know?
Yes. We have to call the Chris Dickinson University of Oklahoma spot.
Yeah, man. I'm down. I'm down for it.
And he wears a size 12 shoe. Hey, get out of here, cat. Yeah, there's a cat on my desk.
Double D, more like A double S.
That's right. That's right. Some people are upset with the Dean of Credibility. Yeah. But anyway, Emil, it's been quite a show. You got heated. We talked about On Point Wrestling, and we
just got real.
It did. It did at the end. But
you know what?
What's up?
That's what I like, because I feel as though legitimacy is something that we're sorely missing in a lot of places. An air of legitimacy.
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
On that note, Emil.
Ah. Not literally, legitimacy.
On that note, we'll see you. When the hell are we back, Emil? Because it looks like June 21st. So mark your calendars. June 21st, After Midnight Returns. You know, we got to make this more than once a month happening.
Yeah, man. Hey, man, the ball's in your court, brother.
I know.
You tell me. I'm open. I'm available.
I know. We have to do something about that. But June 21st, it is scheduled right now. Everyone, thank you for tuning in tonight. Matt, you can find at Tremont CZW. That's C as in cowboy, Z as in zebra, and W as in woman.
Or Combat Zone Wrestling, brother.
Oh, is that what that stands for?
I do believe so, yes.
Well, there you go.
I'm going down to the church house. Get down on my bended knee. Deacon Jones, pray for me. Deacon Jones, please pray for me. Maybe there ain't no hell. Maybe there ain't no hell. Maybe there ain't no heaven. No burning hell. No! I'm going down.